a man who knows a thing or two about diamonds, who is wearing diamonds right now after his national championship forecast to Florida State, Todd Furman from DonBestSports.com, Fox Sports 1 in Las Vegas. Mr. Furman, congratulations. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was a little bit of a sweat to try and coax in a 30-1 ticket on Florida State, but either way, all's well that ends well. One heck of a game that started slow but finished with a bang.
Was I on the square side or what? I mean, was I on the wise guy side? I don't even know. I mean, the line looked like it went up and up and up, and I picked Auburn to win the game, and I was very dejected at the end of it.
The sharp guys clearly got their forecast wrong. I mean, the number opened 8.5 or anywhere from 8 to 8.5, and they pushed it all the way out to 11, 11.5, and the public continued to bet Auburn at a pretty dominant clip. About 2 out of every 3 tickets came in on the dog. Money, though, pretty well much balanced, having spoken to some of the books here in Las Vegas and offshore. But for the better part of, let's say 30 minutes, I won't say for 45, Auburn looked to be the better football team. Florida State making some adjustments at the half, and then they got the Heisman-winning drive from Jameis Winston, going 7 for 7 for 80 yards to get them to the winner's circle outright, obviously nowhere near covering.
All right, let's go over the NFL playoff games this week. I will tell you what side that I like and how passionately I like that side, and then you can tell me how wrong that I am. How about that?
I kind of like this game.
Okay. My favorite pick of the weekend, and I am falling in hook, line, and sinker, man. I'm telling you. I like Andrew Luck. I like the way that dude performed.
Go ahead.
Give me the 7. I don't care. Maybe I don't even need the 7, Todd. I won't take the 7. I will take the Colts to beat the Patriots and go to the AFC Championship game.
You're actually on the side of sharp money in this game. When you look at the number, 7.5, pretty much disappeared here in town at a lot of the bigger offshore books. I'm going to play devil's advocate just because I look at this game, and Indianapolis has to go through some historical trends that aren't exactly real favorable. When you talk about teams that have scored 40 points or more in a playoff game, typically they're an automatic go against. 10-27-1 for a very low level of success going all the way back to 1978. New England, a finesse offense that I think will have plenty of success throwing the football against a Colts secondary, which was carved up by Alex Smith. I know Andrew Luck is the X factor. There should be some weather in the forecast. But at the same time, for me, I won't buck the sharp money, but my slight lean would be to New England. You being so bullish on Indianapolis may actually push me over the edge.
It probably should. New England runs the ball really well. I mean, they can run the ball. I mean, they can do, I think, control the line of scrimmage. Plus, I think, I hate to say this, but I mean, they're a much better coach team. The Patriots would have never lost that kind of lead last week that the Chiefs did. I mean, well, that would not have happened to Belichick.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, Indianapolis, you have to give them a ton of credit for battling back. But the fact that Kansas City relinquished a 4-touchdown lead in the second half speaks volumes about them. And you think somewhere along the way they would have figured out that, hey, maybe we want to double cover T.Y. Hilton and not let him be the only guy that beats us over the top over and over and over again. So it's going to be up to Indy to find another secondary receiver, because I can bet you right now that Bill Belichick won't let T.Y. be the reason that the Patriots go home after just one playoff game.
What if I am on the smart side of all of these games?
Then I'm going to be real concerned then, or you're getting inside information from some much better sources than you use for the 17 weeks of the regular season.
Absolutely. I took down Traber. I even took down the two guys in studio when they subbed in for him for 3 weeks. This has been, you know, my year.
We just got a Traber hotline call, by the way. He wanted to know. He said he was driving out to his remote today, and he wanted to know who won between the three of you guys at the beginning when you guys made picks.
Well, wait, we had the NFL. We had the NFL game too, which I think Todd won. So,
well, Jim did win. He won his conference championship crown, so we can't take that away from him. But you know, he wasn't around for a bowl challenge or anything else. We're gonna have to find a few more contests then to keep Traber humble over there.
Oh, it was just you and I that had the NFL contest.
Yeah, I'm sure Jim would have liked it. It was just you and I. Jim removed himself from the NFL contest.
We'll have to go over that. 50 on the Panthers to win the division was mighty nice.
Yeah, definitely. It paid dividends there, that's for sure.
That may have been enough to get you over the top. You also had the Colts.
Yep, I was going to say, I think those two in and of itself, we've officially graded me a winner. All right, so 1-1 on the season.
I had Green Bay for a hundy. You didn't have Green Bay, but that was the only chance I had to get over on you. So congratulations.
Nice. Thank you. Do I receive any gifts from the House of Bedlam or any other fine establishments in Oklahoma?
Of course. We'll get you something.
All right, perfect.
We'll definitely get you something. Okay, my second strongest opinion is the San Diego Chargers. I mean, they have won in Denver. They've won in Kansas City. They won in Philadelphia. They won at San Diego last week. Somehow, some way, they are multidimensional on offense. Ryan Matthews, who I dropped on my fantasy team about halfway through the year, is running the ball with pretty reckless abandon. They've got some guys that are making plays on defense. And I think that the Broncos, the public's going to look at that number and go, well, Denver's a scoring machine. They're finally going to step it up. It's the playoffs. But I'm worried about the Denver defense just as much. So I don't know that I think that the Chargers will win this game, but I think they keep it close.
This game, you are on the side of the public. There really hasn't been a ton of sharp money that's come in on this particular contest. Some of the power ratings and the guys you talked to believe Denver should be a 12.5, 13-point favorite with Wes Welker back in the mix. Their secondary will be much healthier than they were the first time these two teams met. And you have to wonder if Peyton Manning is going to feel a lot more pressure on his shoulders. If they don't make a deep run this year, this may be his best chance he'll have to win that second Super Bowl. San Diego definitely has been playing with house money. You talked about the emergence of Ryan Matthews, giving them balance offensively. But Danny Woodhead deserves a ton of credit as well. He's really been an X factor that they've needed on those third down passing plays or even inside the red zone in terms of trying to keep defenses honest. This game for me, I think you look at the total at 54.5. If you like Denver, you have to lean over. If you like the Chargers, they're going to shorten the game, and it'll be a much lower scoring affair. Hardest one for me to handicap. I will defer completely and just try and poke holes in your Chargers argument.
Okay. My third choice would be the 49ers. You know, Cam Newton he's been really inconsistent this year. I mean, there have been games in which he's played poorly for 48, 50 minutes, and then, you know, he's led a drive in the final 5, 6, 7 minutes of the game to win. So, I mean, I like the fact that they kind of control the game based on the run, but they just don't throw it down the field that well. And so if something goes crazy and they get behind in this game, I'm really worried about their ability to come back. The 49ers have been better since Michael Crabtree has been back. Plus, I think they've got more experience. Plus, I think they've got the better coach. So, in all of this, they're playing for a revenge in the regular season, which they got beat at home. I may talk myself into putting the 49ers ahead of the Chargers.
This game is awfully interesting. I mean, you look at the way these two teams match up the first time. Barely combined for over 400 yards, 25 first downs. Colin Kaepernick had all sorts of difficulty trying to figure out Carolina's defensive scheme. But the Panthers, as you alluded to, they're not going to go out there and light the world on fire with their offensive capabilities, especially if Steve Smith goes out there, tries the knee, and is limited. I mean, at best, he'll probably be 75%, and he's the only guy on the roster that can stretch the field. I think Ted Ginn is one to keep your eye on. He's going to have to play a big role if the Panthers are going to make some plays as well. The interesting part about this game, though, Mark, home underdogs in the divisional round have fared exceptionally well. If San Francisco closes a favorite, this will only be the sixth time we've seen it happen in a long, long time. And previously, the home underdogs 4-1 straight up, obviously leading to covers. But I think the more compelling angle in this one is to go under the total at 42. I really don't expect that number to stay around for long. Starting to see some 41.5 pop on the Dom Best screen now. I think the first team to 20 walks away victorious in this one, and it may not even take 20 points to punch your ticket to the NFC Championship.
All right, and the Saints and the Seahawks. I thought the Saints had an excellent game plan going to Philadelphia. They ran the football a little bit more. They took it out of Drew Brees' hands. More of an underneath passing game in the elements. Now they're going from one kind of element to another kind of element in Seattle, where, you know, it's probably going to be rainy again and windy, much warmer. But still, I think that's tough for a Saints offense that's pretty highly precise. I don't like laying more than a touchdown in an NFL game, but I'd rather do it in a playoff game than a regular season game. But I think this is all Seattle again.
Yeah, I'd actually lean the same way as you on the side here. I do think the game is compelling to look at under the total as well. You can kind of throw out that 34-7 first meeting between these two teams. An early turnover led to New Orleans being forced to abandon their game plan. I think when you talk about the underneath stuff, the major difference between the Eagles and the Seahawks, Seattle's perfectly fine playing press coverage and forcing Drew Brees to throw the ball into tight alleys. They were able to eliminate Jimmy Graham the first time around. I don't think he'll be a much bigger part this week. The one thing for New Orleans, though, that they have to see as a positive, they bottled up Marshawn Lynch for extended stretches. So I think if Seattle can hit a big pass play early, loosen up that Saints secondary, which for me is extremely banged up and was surprised how well they performed, I think New Orleans is up against it here. But much like you, laying over a touchdown in a game of this magnitude, very difficult. I think Seattle will stifle New Orleans, though. Lean to Seattle, prefer going under 46.
Okay, now you know that the crazy stat is out there, and I'm sure the Italian Stallion knows this too, is that the first team to beat the Eagles the last 4 years has won the Super Bowl?
Yep, so it says the Chargers are the team you should be running to the window to place your futures bets on.
Okay, now I don't believe in that kind of crap, but anyway. Who should I put a futures bet on right now that would give me a little bit of value?
I mean, I can't jump off the Carolina bandwagon. This is a team I was high on coming into the season. I was able to purchase a little bit of stake in them at about 85-1 when they started the season 0-2. Still hoping that comes to fruition, but I think they're the pick to get out of the NFC. I think for whatever reason, they're able to get through San Francisco, can go up to Seattle and find a way to win. And in the AFC side, in all honesty, it's anyone's guess. My gut tells me that New England can go into Denver and win that game, assuming New England gets through the Colts, now that you've put a kibosh on Andrew Luck and company.
I really feel good about the Colts. I think they're going to win that. What's going on in college hoops? There's a big game tonight, Arizona and UCLA.
Yeah, this number has ticked up a little bit. Arizona opened as a one-point favorite out to 2.5. There was a little bit of resistance at 3 on UCLA. College basketball still trying to sort out exactly who some of the elite teams are. As we saw last night, Oklahoma State looked pretty lethargic in the first half, but found a way to extend and actually cover the closing number of 12.5 against Texas. OU up and down the court just didn't have enough firepower to get through Kansas. I still think if Chris Walker becomes eligible for Florida, that's a team that nobody will want to draw. As far as our Dom Best Advantage power pull, though, Louisville remains the top team in the land, and we'll get a chance to see them as a 10-point favorite tonight against the Memphis team who looked pretty terrible against Cincinnati over the weekend.
I watched a lot of college hoop last night. I watched both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. North Carolina, that's a bad team. I don't know how they've beaten three good teams, right? I mean, this is a team that you can go against and I think feel pretty comfortable throughout the season.
Yeah, I just can't, and much like you, I can't quite figure them out. I mean, they may have the three most impressive wins of just about anybody, but they have some bad losses. All at home has double-digit favorites. I'm not quite sure what to make of that particular team. But the other team I had a chance to watch in great detail right in your backyard was Iowa State. Are we buying the Cyclones as a viable national championship contender with the addition of DeAndre Kane? And more importantly, the mayor's getting them to play defense, which they didn't do at all last season.
National championship may be a little strong, but they're well-rounded. They can do a little bit of everything.
Well, they got a ton of scores. I mean, having four guys that are capable of filling it up on a given night definitely goes deep into the conference and, you know, the postseason. But you look at the Big 12, I mean, I still think that they have to be considered the favorite. I've watched Kansas over periods of time, and I just don't think they're making the strides I expected them to by early January with all that youth on their roster.
What's going on in Vegas?
You know what? Nothing too crazy. Playoff games will be in full tilt as you look around some of the sports books and try and find your level of entertainment. And I believe there is one or two restaurant openings coming up in the next few weeks, but unfortunately not prepared like I should be for this segment to share that wealth of knowledge with all those Sports Animal listeners.
I think that there is a big contingent of Oklahoma people coming out. So prepare yourself.
They typically make the pilgrimage right around that time. I'm disappointed you weren't out here for CES, Mark. I figured you'd be out there trying to pimp some of the new electronics out there to all those vendors across the world.
That'd have been a good time. I mean, I have been out to Vegas traditionally the last few years at the beginning of the new year, but no, not this season. So
keeping you on a tight leash. You got to go to the Big Easy instead. You had to pick and choose your houses of sin that you were going to try and head off to.
You're exactly right. New Orleans harbors plenty of that. All right, Todd, we'll talk to you next week. We'll see how right I am or wrong.
Always a pleasure. Good luck with your games this week, Mark.
Talk to you later. Todd Furman, Caesars Palace, former employee, also now at Don Best and Fox Sports 1.